Joseph Pasek of BornBurner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and the Hall of Famer John Nelson from OSG Sports in Atlanta is back again as we preview the second leg of the Eastern and Western Conference Final in the West. John, I think you had a great Thanksgiving holiday, ate a lot of turkey there, and I'm still waiting on my Thanksgiving present or Christmas, Hanukkah present, whatever. Now
we need scarves from Norm.
Yeah, well, talk to Norm. He only does this once a week. He feels that he's a superstar, a broadcasting legend, that he only appears once a week. It's like a very special attraction. Speaking about special attractions, BMO Field, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., the second leg of the Eastern Conference Final. It was a tie the first leg, but sort of a victory for TFC, playing out without Sebastian Giovinco, Jose Altidore, and drawing Columbus 0-0. Now at BMO Field with Altidore and Giovinco back, Bradley healthy, everybody healthy. The weather, I think, it's not going to be bad, but you know, it's going to be okay for late November. What do you expect the result to be in the second leg, and who goes in to the MLS championship game?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're looking at chalk, you're thinking it's going to be TFC. And I will go with that with this caveat. Understand that Columbus Crew FC has a hot goaltender, goalkeeper, goaltender. You see, games in Canada, I'm thinking hockey, with a hot goalkeeper in Zach Steffen. And we have seen throughout the MLS playoffs that Steffen has been able to stand on his head, and a lot of folks in the United States are wondering why he's not getting reps in national team friendlies or play-ins or what have you. So when you've got a goalkeeper like Steffen, did it again, almost said goaltender. When you've got a goalkeeper like Steffen, it's going to be increasingly difficult for TFC to put stuff in the back of the net. And I know that you're going into a difficult environment at BMO. You're going in really in a goalless draw situation. With Columbus without Artur in the midfield, I think that creates more opportunities for Columbus Crew for Toronto FC offensively going up against Columbus. And I think that's where the middle of the pitch is probably where you're going to be able to take advantage of the situation if you're looking at it as a Toronto FC fan. But reminder, when you've got a guy like Steffen between the sticks, you've really got to make sure it's going to happen. It wouldn't surprise me if Giovinco ended up getting one in off a set piece for the 4,000th time in his MLS career, as he's wont to do. I'm looking at probably something along the neighborhood of 2-0 for Toronto FC. But I say that, once again, going in, hopefully Toronto FC fans will understand that you've got a guy who's going to be defending that net who has been strong for the last month or so. How does Greg Berhalter address things? Yeah?
I'm going to tell you this. Since I think we're going to have a rematch of last year's championship match between TFC and Seattle, and last year TFC scored many, many goals against New York, against Montreal and all that, and this year they scored two goals, and then they haven't scored a goal, and they didn't score a goal first leg. I think we're going to go into TFC will win via penalty shootout. What a story this will be, because last year they lost the championship match on penalty shootouts. This year, to get to the championship match against the same team, they haven't scored goals. They will get there via penalty shootouts. And by the way, I hate when it's 0-0 heading into a second leg, because the road team, if they score a goal, they scored two goals. So that is very, very difficult, but I'm going on a limb. TFC will get the victory, and TFC will get the victory via penalty shootout. How do you like that, John?
Well, I think that you're just trying to gin up excitement so people can listen to all of the podcasts here on barnburner.ca. You're just trying
to listen to the cheap pot.
That's what you're going
also
for.
Don't forget soccer down here also. Even though we're in Toronto, you're in Atlanta, people listen to soccer down here every Monday to Friday, brought to you by OSG with John there and all that. But that's my way of thinking. I basically, I'm going to be at the match. I don't want to be nail-biting there, like staying there till midnight. But I believe, like you said, hot goaltender and TFC for, you know, the first leg, they played really good defense, and now they're going to be a little bit more on attack. So, but I still think, hopefully, TFC doesn't take it to penalty shots, but I still think the world comes or goes around, I still think TFC wins via penalty shots. That is my prediction. Now, in the West, I think we're going to have the opposite. I think Seattle scored 2 goals on the road, and Seattle is going to be at home, laid back. Maybe Houston gets a goal, but I think Seattle's home and cooled out. What would you say, John?
I think it's probably going to be a shootout just because of what Houston has to do and what they think they have to do to get back into it. They've got to score at least 2 on the road to try to make it competitive, which means that, you know, I think it could be a 3-1 match. It could be a 4-2 match. I'm looking for something in that vein, but I think that Portland gets the win. Seattle gets the win just because of what Houston has to do. I think that Seattle is going to put up larger numbers offensively just because the governor is going to be off the golf cart for Houston, and it's just going to have to be everybody forward, everybody trying to score. You're doing it without Elise. You're doing it without Anibaba in the midfield, so that means that you're going to have to rely on Kyoto, Manotas, Kubo Torres, and trying to put it into the back of the net. I think that they will end up doing it a couple times. I think it'll be an exciting leg 2, but I think that the numbers game coming out of Houston is just too insurmountable for Dynamo, and I think that Seattle gets the Duke, but I think it's going to be a higher scoring game than a lot of folks think.
All right, so just let me look at the other way. Okay, I really think Seattle is home and cooled out. So let's say Columbus upsets Toronto FC. The match is still in Columbus. Take me through a prediction and look at if it's Seattle, Columbus in the final.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think a lot of folks were doubting Seattle just from a health standpoint with Jordan Morris. And, you know, now with the injury to Terry Fry, how injured is he going to be? Does he sit out the second leg, even though the team didn't seem to skip a beat? When it comes to putting a win on the board and getting to an MLS Cup final, you look at it, and really, I think that with a healthy Seattle, I think that Seattle goes into Columbus and gets a win. I think it's probably like a 2-1 or a 2-0, something like that. But reminder, with all of the subplot going on in Columbus, that there is, that you can bring up all the analogies you want, wounded animal in a corner, all that kind of stuff. But it would make a great Cinderella story if Columbus made it to an MLS Cup final, hosted an MLS Cup final, with all of the Save the Crew stuff, with all of the fans, with all of the subplot going on, with an owner that wants to move a franchise. So I'm looking at chalk as you and I have looked at it, but if it happens that Columbus gets a goal on the board and then just bunkers in and tries to get out of Dodge, I think it makes for an interesting MLS Cup final on multiple levels, more for the politics involved off the field than the action on it.
All right, and now, is anybody going to be talking, if Seattle wins for a second straight year, are they talking dynasty in Seattle?
I'm sure the folks in Seattle will be talking dynasty. I don't know about the rest of us. I just think that it's a good run. I think that really you've got to be 3 or 3 out of 4, something like that, if you're going to start using that D word and tossing it around. I've never been a fan of using that. I mean, 2 in a row. Okay, two in a row is back-to-back. 3, I would start dynasty talk. 2 in a row is just a tremendous accomplishment. I don't think that you start talking dynasties and D words and things like that.
And it's too early to say, but isn't Seattle or maybe Toronto FC the favorite for next year even?
No question. But once again, you have silly season, which ends up going a month, and then everybody's back at training camp. So I think it depends on who you bring back. I think that Victor Vasquez was one of the great acquisitions of the 2017 season. and how are the younger players on both sides, how are they growing into the game in MLS? How healthy are the older players in a place like a Seattle? Does Clint Dempsey hang up his cleats if he gets one more championship? You know, how healthy is a Jordan Morris? What are the other pieces that you bring in if you're a Seattle? Because Seattle brings in Ladero, then they bring in a Svensson, and you're seeing the benefits of doing those kinds of acquisitions, you know, 2 years ago and then this season. So, once again, I think it rolls on to how do you fill out your roster? How do you work your flanks? And we all know that Toronto FC is one of the deepest teams in the league. How do you maintain being the deepest team in the league with everything else going on around you and everybody gunning for you?
Well, that's John Nelson of OSG Sports in Atlanta, and he's calling Toronto FC, Seattle Sounders, once again in the MLS Championship Cup. I'm also calling it Toronto FC. Watch. They're going to win via penalty shots. John says not penalty shots, but it should be a good match at BMO Field, should be a good match in Seattle. John, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Easiest way is to follow on the Twitters at OSG Nelson, and you can follow along on Facebook either at the OSG Sports Facebook page or on the John Freeman Nelson Facebook page, because there's about 35 John Nelsons, and I had to put Freeman in to be different. Follow along on Instagram at Cute Sports Guy, because that's what the boss says I am, so therefore that's my handle. Reminder, Soccer Down Here Daily Radio, 9 to 11 on Blog Talk Radio, syndicated overnights on ESPN Coastal, and follow along there at Soccer Down Here as well on Twitter and on Instagram and on Facebook as well. So it's a couple different ways, but that's where you get all your information when it comes to stuff here in the States.
And don't forget, OSG College Football also available on barnburner.ca Monday and Wednesday. And myself and John will be launching Lacrosse Outside the Box very, very soon for National Lacrosse League season. Thanks a lot, John.
Anytime, my friend.